If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 18. Numbers is in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. If you're going to use the Bible underneath one of the seats in front of you, it's page 149. And then we're going to be in Numbers for a few minutes, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 16 in the New Testament. We're taking a short break from Genesis last week, this morning, and then next week. And then we'll jump back into Genesis, our series there. But I wanted to take two Sundays to talk about finances. This morning, we're going to talk about the tithe, in particular, what the Bible teaches about the tithe. And then next week, we're going to talk about practical finances, personal finances, individually and in our homes. And so we're taking 2 weeks to kind of cover this topical issue of finances. Some churches talk about money too much. They talk about money all the time. Other churches never discuss it because it can make people feel uncomfortable. And of course, we're all aware of abuses that we've seen in churches or in church history regarding money, selling indulgences for the forgiveness of sins, misuse of funds, misappropriation of funds, things like that. At Covenant Life, we do teach periodically on finances and giving. This is one of those topics that I call, I consider it sort of a maintenance sermon. It's like with your car, you need to be changing the oil on a regular basis to keep it running well. And talking about giving or finances is like one of those topics to address. And I'm glad we can address it. In fact, I think nearly every time we've addressed it here, we're doing fine financially. So this is not coming to you from, wait, we're in a crisis, we really need help or something like that. God is abundantly providing for us in amazing ways, glory to Him. But this is just part of ongoing addressing it. We must address it with care because the Bible teaches it, and we want to teach the whole counsel of God. In fact, the Bible talks a lot about money. In the Bible, there are about 500 verses that talk about prayer. There are a little less than 500 verses that talk about faith. And there are over 2,300 verses that talk about money. So usually as we do expository preaching, if something comes up regarding money, we'll teach on that. But we haven't done that. I think it was pre-COVID, probably more than 6 years ago, since I've taught on giving. But this morning we're going to do that. We're going to begin by looking at the idea of the tithe in the Old Testament. And our text to begin with is Numbers chapter 18, and we'll be looking at verses 21 through 27. Let me ask you to please stand out of reverence for God's word. Numbers 18, beginning at verse 21. Follow along as I read. To the Levites I have given every tithe in Israel for an inheritance, in return for their service that they do, their service in the tent of meeting, so that the people of Israel do not come near the tent of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tent of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations, and among the people of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithe of the people of Israel, which they present as a contribution to the Lord, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. Therefore I have said of them that they shall have no inheritance among the people of Israel. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Moreover, you shall speak and say to the Levites, when you take from the people of Israel the tithe that I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall present a contribution from it to the Lord, a tithe of the tithe. And your contribution shall be counted to you as though it were the grain of the threshing floor and as the fullness of the wine press. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for your powerful and living, active word. And we pray this morning that your Spirit would come and teach us, that we would hear from you and not from a man. We pray, God, that you would open our hearts and our minds to see wonderful things from your word, that we would be convinced and convicted by your Spirit of anything we need to be taught and anything that needs to change in our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated. So we'll begin by talking about the idea of the tithe in the Old Testament, and I'm intentional about choosing this text. There are a number of different texts that talk about it, but let me just say that, and by the way, there are sermon outlines, sermon notes available if you need in the back, if you want to grab some of those to follow along. God's people were obligated in the Old Testament to present to the Lord a tithe of their income. The word tithe means a tenth of anything that they made or anything they received. God's people were obligated to present that to the Lord. And the Lord used this tithe, as we see in this text, primarily for supporting the ministry of the Levites. Now, the Levites were basically ones, men who led in worship and teaching. They also had families, so they needed to provide for them. The Levites led in worship and teaching. And when God's people went into the promised land, geographically, it was split up into these 12 different areas, basically 12. There were 12 tribes. Wasn't exactly 12, but basically each tribe had a geographic area that was theirs. That was their inheritance. That was their land. Except the Levites. They did not get a geographic chunk of land. And that's why this text goes on to say, or is clear to say, that this is their inheritance. They didn't have land as an inheritance, but the tithe would be their inheritance. Verse 21, look at verse 21 of chapter 18. To the Levites I've given every tithe in Israel for an inheritance, in return for the service that they do, their service in the tent of meeting. The tent of meeting was the tabernacle. And remember, Israel, when they were wandering in the desert for 40 years, they had this mobile tent of worship where they would present sacrifices. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was, and the presence of the Lord was in this mobile tent. Eventually, when they moved into the Promised Land and they got settled there and Jerusalem was built, then they built a temple. Solomon built a temple. That would be between 970 and 930 BC. So it ceased being a mobile place of worship and it came to an immobile place, the Temple Mount. But that is then where the Levites would do their service there. They did not have an inheritance of the land. Verse 23, but the Levites shall do the service of the tent of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations, and among the people of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. The Levites did not have a chunk of land. So the tithe, the idea of the tithe, was they would give to them. Now, it's interesting from this text. The Levites would receive the tithe, and then they were instructed to tithe, give 10% of what came in from the tithe of the people. Look at verse 25. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, moreover, you shall speak and say to the Levites, when you take from the people of Israel the tithe that I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall present a contribution from it to the Lord. A tithe of the tithe. Now, there aren't always direct parallels into the New Testament, but I think principally there are parallels here. Sometimes people ask, do pastors tithe? The answer is yes, or it's they better tithe. They better be tithing. Okay, I don't know what anybody here gives. I don't know what the other pastors give. I know what my wife and I give. I don't know what anybody in the congregation gives here. But the idea of pastors should also tithe, I believe, can be backed up by the scripture. Here's why I choose this text, because I think there's two principal ideas when it comes to giving in the context of worship that should jump off the page at us from this text. And I'll put it under one umbrella. For the nation of Israel, according to the Lord, their giving, their tithing, was to be vertical, not horizontal. And I want to explain what I mean when I say that. It's to be vertical in this way. The text is clear. I'll show you in just a moment. That the people of Israel, when they gave the tithe, they were not giving it to the Levites. They were giving it to the Lord. Look at verse 24. For the tithe of the people of Israel, which they present as a contribution to the Levites? No. To the Lord. They're giving this contribution to him. Then he says, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. The people give it to the Lord gives it to the Levites. That was their mindset. They're not giving to the Levites when they give their tithe. They're giving to the Lord. Second idea, the Levites received, when they received that tithe, they didn't get it from the people, they received it from the Lord. Look at verse 26. Moreover, you shall speak and say to the Levites, when you take from the people of Israel the tithe that I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall present a contribution from it to the Lord. So the people give to the Lord. The Lord gives it to the Levites. The Levites then tithe 10% of that to the Lord, back to the Lord. It's very clear because here's the idea. Again, jump to the New Testament. Jump to our time in the context of a local church. And we don't have to worry about being word Nazis here and making sure everybody speaks everything just perfectly. But I'd like to use the idea and the phrase that when you give in the context of a local church, you're not giving to the church, you're giving to the Lord. You're giving it to the Lord. Because if you're giving to a church, you know what happens if something goes wrong at the church? Or you don't like worship that day, or the pastor does a lousy sermon, or you see kids walking in the auditorium with powdered donuts, or whatever. When something goes wrong in your church, then you begin to say, well, I'm not going to give to that church. But if your mindset is, I'm giving to the Lord, the second mindset is the same. If your mindset is, if my mindset as a pastor is, I'm getting from you, well, that's not a great posture to be in. My mindset needs to be, I'm getting from him. If the pastor's mindset is, my livelihood is being provided by you, well, that sure makes me from the pulpit very vulnerable to making sure that you are happy with what I say from the front. And that's a dangerous place to be in the pulpit. My mindset needs to be, he's providing for my needs, not you. You're giving to the Lord, not to me. Do you understand that? This is huge when it comes to the idea of giving in a local church congregation. Strictly speaking, we don't give to the church. We give to the Lord. Now, tithing in the Old Testament was not optional. In fact, to not tithe to the Lord was considered robbing God. Malachi 3:8. Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. This is the Lord speaking. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. In Malachi's day, they were not tithing to the Lord. And God essentially says, you're stealing from me. You're not stealing from the temple. You're stealing from me. You're robbing me. Leviticus 27:30. Every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It's holy to the Lord. It belongs to him. Holy means set apart. The tithe, the 10%, is set apart special for him. That means 10% off the top, called the first fruits of what you receive. 10% of the total increase means 10% of your gross income, not your net income. In other words, when you get a paycheck, it says, you know, take some off for Uncle Sam, take some off for Social Security. For old people and poor people, you take some out for that. Then you take some out for health. You take some out for your vision, for your dental. You take some out for retirement. You don't tithe off what's left that you take home. You don't tithe off your take-home pay. You tithe off the gross, the whole amount. And it was not optional in the Old Testament. Did you know that in the Old Testament also many scholars believe that it was not limited just to a 10% tithe? Many scholars believe that God also required what's called a festival tithe of 10%. The festival tithe would go towards when Israel gathered for different festivals and feasts annually in Jerusalem. The Feast of Tabernacles, for example, or the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. All the times when Israel would gather together in Israel and they'd have these huge feasts and festivals, that 10% was to go to pay for parties, basically, among God's people. 10% goes to Levites, 10% goes to feasts and festivals. And there was also another 10% tithe stretched out over 3 years to be given specifically for the poor. So that's basically 3 1/3% per year set aside especially to look out for those who were impoverished or had dire financial needs. So you add it all up in the Old Testament and it would have been 23.3% a year. 10% to the Levites, 10% to festivals, 3.3 to poor people. So that's the idea in the Old Testament. So how should Christians give, and are Christians required to give the tithe? We'll get to these two questions now. How should Christians give? There's an example in the New Testament I want you to look at, 1 Corinthians 16. If you'd turn over to 1 Corinthians 16, it's page 1143, if you're using one of the Bibles underneath the seat in front of you. This is an example of New Testament teaching on giving. We call it giving in the early church. It's just one. Again, it covers many different places, but this is probably the clearest one in terms of talking about how specifically Christians should give. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. This is Paul writing. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, saints means all the believers there, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. And I'll pause right there. He's writing to the church in Corinth. He's saying, I'm going to write these things. Here's principles for how you give. But it's interesting. He says, as I also directed the churches of Galatia. Corinth was a city. There's a church, a Christian church there. Galatia was a region. And there were several different churches in the region of Galatia. Galatia would be like a state or something, or a county, some area, geographic region. So he says, I'm going to tell you, church in Corinth, the same thing that I wrote to the churches in Galatia. In other words, I'm pointing that out because Paul's saying, I'm giving the same general guidelines about giving to a number of different churches. So this is not just sort of a one-off or a special circumstance. I would suggest to you that this is basically the Christian teaching on giving in the New Testament. In the context of a local church, that's why it says, beginning of verse 2, on the first day of every week, the New Testament believers, after the resurrection of Christ, gathered for worship on the first day of the week, because that was the day that Jesus rose from the grave. So they began to worship on the first day of the week. I believe this is in the context of local, of giving in a local church. So they practice consistent giving, verse 2, on the first day of every week. They gave regularly. There is a spiritual, mental benefit to giving regularly, whether it's weekly, whether it's monthly. For me personally, I write my tithe check once a month. Just do it once a month. Now, part of that benefit is it reminds you of who your God is and that He will provide for you. It reminds you when you, a lot of people don't even write checks, but probably there's enough people here who do. I still write checks. When I write my check and I'm looking at the amount in my account, there's some months where I'm going, how am I going to make it this month? But I'm going to do it early in the month, write it there, give it to the Lord, and it reminds me He will provide for me. I don't know how, but He'll provide for me this month. It reminds me that all that I have is His. It reminds me that I can trust Him for my material needs, and that money is not my God. It's interesting, our national motto is written on our money. That's intentional, because money is probably one of the closest things that you would use to replace God with. Now, take it out of the realm of money and think about it this way. Are you required to pray before every meal? No. No. I make it that practice to pray before my meals. I don't do it legalistically, like I have to do it each time. You're not required to do that. But I pray before meals as a regular reminder, first, that God is providing for me. Second, that there's plenty of people who do not have what I have, and how awesome that I have a meal here in front of me. Third, that I'm not self-sufficient, that I need something outside of me to sustain me. I would cease to exist after a couple weeks with no food. I would die. I would. I don't know, maybe you go 4 weeks, 5 weeks, not without water. But basically, when I pray, I'm reminded, I'm not self-sufficient. I need God. Thank you for providing this. What if you started 2025, the first day, January 1st, and you just decided, I'm going to save a lot of time this year, and I'm going to pray one prayer right now for all my meals for the whole year. Lord, just to save time, and sometimes maybe save embarrassment because you don't know should you pray or not with these people, I'm just going to pray right now, thank you for all the meals you're going to give me this year, in Jesus' name. Well, you're kind of missing the point, right? Same way, there's something about giving consistently over time that has a blessing to you in terms of spiritually. They practiced personal and individual giving. Verse 2, on the first day of every week, each of you, giving is each one's responsibility. It does not say on the first day of every week, those who have a little extra left over should give regularly. Young, mature, we don't say old, young, mature, single, married, rich, poor, pastors, yes, even young adults, college students, you're called to give. What we tend to do is we tend to think of the extremes and we say, well, the very poor shouldn't give, and actually we think the very rich shouldn't tithe. Really, there's people who think like, man, if you really make big, big bucks, you're not going to give that to the church, are you, a tithe? Some time ago, a pastor friend of mine was telling me how in his church, there was a Major League Baseball player who made $10 million a year. And he tithed it to the church every year. $1 million to the church. We tend to think, man, if you don't make a lot, you don't have to tithe. Or if you make a whole lot, you don't have to tithe. I would suggest the tithe that goes across the board, personally, individually. Remember that Jesus recognized the giving of a poor widow, the widow's mite, in Mark chapter 12. The idea is that each one is contributing. They practiced intentional giving. Verse 2 again. On the first day of the week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper so that there will be no collecting when I come. Put something aside and store it up. This is intentional. It was planned. It wasn't haphazard or based how I felt in the moment. It wasn't based on how much I had right then in my checkbook. Their giving was faithful preparation for future needs. And again, we'll talk more about practical, specific applications to your own personal household giving next week. But I think one application is this. Prayerfully come up with a plan and then stick with it. In faith, I knew some folks here years ago at our church, and they expressed to me how they struggled with finances for much of their marriage, and they finally decided they took all their financial files, their retirement and their savings and all their bank statements, they put it out on the table, husband and wife, they laid it out there, they laid their hands on it, and they said, God, it's yours. They began to pray. This is yours. We want to do this your way. Lead us. We'll do it your way. Would you provide for us if we do that? It's a great picture. And the Lord led them to an intentional giving plan that they could use. So the second question, are Christians still called to tithe? All right, there are different opinions among Christians about tithing, and we can agree, I think, it's not a major doctrinal issue, certainly not a salvation issue. On the one hand, the New Testament never tells us to stop tithing. Okay, so some would say, well, it was instructed in the Old Testament. They never say to stop, you should keep on tithing. On the other hand, when Paul and the other New Testament writers addressed finances, nowhere do they say, you should definitely tithe. So they had plenty of opportunities to say something, but they didn't. So there's different views on, are Christians required, quote unquote, to tithe? I could tell you the early church fathers held that believers should give 10% to the church first as a tithe. Anything above and beyond that was considered an offering. I like to, again, phrase that I use is, now we give God's tithes and our offerings to the Lord. The tithe is his, offering is above and beyond. This is also the prevalent view, by the way, throughout church history, and my sense is in our denomination from the some research that I've done on this, it seems like this is the whole, this is the belief of our denomination anywhere. So, and this is the practice that Amy and I do. We give 10% of gross income to this local church, Covenant Life Church. Above and beyond that is an offering. We give that to the pregnancy center. We support missionaries or Harvest USA or Christian schools or something like that. But this is the conviction that Amy and I have, 10% to the local church first. Some would say that Jesus' words imply in Luke that the tithe is required. I'm not there yet, but I want to just take you to that text. Luke 11:42, Jesus says, it's in your outline, 11:42, "But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb," those are basically garden plants, "and neglect justice and the love of God." And then he says, "These you ought to have done." You ought to have been tithing mint and rue and every herb. "These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." So Jesus is saying here, you should have tithed. In other words, it's appropriate to use 10% as your guideline. The reason why I'm not there yet to say it's not a strong enough argument, in my opinion, to say the tithe is required in the New Testament is, well, for one, Jesus is speaking to non-believers, Pharisees. The Pharisees, you know, were not believers. Everyone thinks the Pharisees were believers. They were just really uptight. No, they were not believers. The Pharisees are not believers. They were still living under this old grid. Pharisees weren't trusting in Christ. But remember another place Jesus says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Well, he's not saying go cut off your right hand. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. He's not telling you to do that. So I'm not ready to say in Luke 11 that Jesus is saying you definitely should tithe. What he was saying is you can tithe all the way down to the produce of your garden and still miss it. You can miss it completely, even if you go to those extremes and you say, I'm going to tithe everything. As I said, I personally believe in practice. And my conviction is the Christian should tithe 10% to the local church first. And then above and beyond that, either to the local church or to missions or mercy or pregnancy center. I also, as a pastor and your elders and deacons up front here, we have no authority to bind your conscience on this. You could come to a deep personal conviction that as a Christian, I'm not required to tithe, and I have a different plan to come up with. I don't have any authority to bind your conscience on that. In other words, it's not clear enough in the scripture that you can say yes or no to that. Different issue. If a Christian and a non-Christian came to me and said, hey, would you marry us? I can bind a conscience. I could say absolutely not. Or if another pastor married them, I could say that's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. Scripture's clear in Corinthians. What does light have to do with darkness? You can't marry a Christian and a non-Christian. But on this issue, we can't do that. So, moving towards wrapping this up, bigger picture, because as a gospel preacher, I'm supposed to be preaching the gospel, not just about finances, right? Yeah. Bigger picture, this comes under the lordship of Christ. The lordship of Christ. Money and giving are both a guideline and an indicator when it comes to more important matters in your life. It's interesting, the text I just read in Luke 11, Jesus links money with justice issues and the love of God. That's what he says to the Pharisees. This is what you're missing. You're doing the tithe, but you're missing. You neglect justice and the love of God. You're missing the more important things. So they even, quote unquote, were doing right things with their money, but they were wrong in their heart posture. Money is an indicator on the dashboard of our hearts. What is your posture towards money and giving? I hope you hear what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you need to give this amount. What is your heart posture towards money? Money is not evil. The scripture's clear. The love of money is the root of all evil. and we can quickly have it become an idol in our hearts. What is your posture towards money and giving? Do you want revival in your life? You want to turn the world upside down? Give your life, your all, your body, your mind, your pocketbook, your health, your future, your past, your present to Him. He is Lord of all. Don't have excuses for what you don't have or what you lack. Often we say, I can't give because I don't have. No. Nope. You look at what you do have. You get nothing in terms of money. It doesn't matter. You got time and you have talent. It all belongs to Him. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish given to the Lord can feed a crowd of 5,000 men, not including women and children. What if that boy said, there's 5,000 men here, not including women and children. All I have is this. I'm not giving anything. No. He trusted the Lord with it. Piper, John Piper, who I respect and admire, said he doesn't believe in the tithe at all. He said, I don't believe in the tithe. That's ridiculous. Why would Christians ever only give 10%? Based on what we know now, this side of the cross, we have the New Testament. The Old Testament guys didn't even have the New Testament. We see this side of the cross. Why would Christians ever be constrained to give 10%? He also says the cross really is, and what Christ did on the cross is sort of the matrix when it comes to poverty and wealth. Listen to this from 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich in heaven, yet for your sake He became poor on earth, so that you, by His poverty, would become rich. And He's not talking about money. He's talking spiritually. Do you know the Savior? You could have nothing in terms of material possessions. And if you have Jesus, you have everything you need. And you could have everything in terms of material possessions. And without Jesus, brother, sister, you have nothing. Jesus is your all and all. Trust Him with your whole life and watch what He'll do. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray for every believer in this room that there would be an abandonment of self and a clinging to the cross of Christ, a giving up of all and receiving everything in Christ. I pray for our young people, God, that they would know the joy and the freedom of giving it all up for Christ, their whole lives, of dying to self. I pray for those here who don't know You, Lord, that You would give them a supernatural sobriety of mind and clarity of thinking to see what truly has value, that He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he can never lose in Jesus Christ. And we pray in His name. Amen. Would you stand as we close our service? Go out with the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace in Jesus' name. Amen.